But have not gotten one of the annual budgets. There are some on the piano there, and there's some in the back. I'm going to reference some of those. We're taking a break from our study in Luke so we can remember. Today's message is entitled Step by Step Following Jesus. And one of the interesting things that we see in Scripture is we see that God tells us to remember, to take time and to do specific things to remember. You might remember in Joshua chapter 4, as the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, they finally, after 40 years in the wilderness, they crossed into the Promised Land, and they crossed over the Jordan River. And after they crossed in the Jordan River, God gave them a command to have a member from each of the 12 tribes of Israel in the middle of the river to pick up a stone, to pick up a rock. And once they got to the other side of the Jordan River, they set up these pillar of stones. Why? Well, God gave them clear instructions to remember that God had been faithful, that God had brought them into the Promised Land. Now, was everything done when they crossed over the river? No. They had a lot of work. It wasn't like they completely arrived. They'd gotten to the physical location. There's still a lot to do. But God wanted them to remember. It's interesting also, in 1 Samuel, we read a story where there was conflict between the nation of Israel and the Philistines. The Philistines were left over because they didn't completely do everything God had told them to do when they came into the Promised Land. And there was constant battle between the Philistines and the nation of Israel. But God had stepped forward. We read this story in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and He brought them great deliverance. And He told them to get a stone, and they actually gave it a name, Ebenezer. Literally means a stone of help, that God was with us. He helped us win this battle. And they named that place Ebenezer. And I don't know if you've ever been to a place, some churches. Where I went to Bible college, they had a stone out in front of the chapel, and they named it Ebenezer after this passage, because they wanted to remember. And it's a good concept for us to remember that God is with us, that God helps us. And so today we celebrate. What does Glacier Church have to celebrate? Well, you know, that's kind of my job, to help us remember, to be reminded. You know, a year ago right now, Glacier Church was looking for a pastor. And one of the most difficult things in churches, period, when you look at the nature of a church, is pastoral transitions and changes. Because without a pastor, sometimes churches are like, well, what are we about? Where are we headed? And one of the jobs of a pastor is kind of like in a band. You know, you have a drummer, they set a rhythm. Now, they don't set a melody. They don't give harmony. They just set a rhythm so that the music can be played. And largely as a pastor, I make very little of the difference. You and we all, as we scatter and we live in our community, we sing the song of God. We bring in the melody of God's kingdom. But as a pastor, I kind of like beat a drum so that we kind of do it in rhythm. And we can really start to convey the kingdom of God. And going through a pastoral transition is a huge thing. And Glacier Church has done it with excellence. I referenced with the kids, children's ministry. It's so important. Kids are not just the church of the future, they're the church present. And I love having Eli make comments. You know, one of the things about church is it's not like I have all the answers and you sit back and listen. We're all active participants. And what a joy it is to have our children being active participants. And I know that when you're in elementary school, you know, I've had some good talks with Ethan. It's hard, Ethan, to listen to me one Sunday a month, isn't it? I'm not as exciting as a class. But you know what? It's one of those things. Our kids have an active participant role in our church. And we reach for them, and they reach for us. And it's just like a family. We all reach for one another. We all stretch. And that makes us grow. And that makes us mature. We've had a great year as we studied the Gospel of Luke. And we're not even halfway through it yet. So we get to talk about that. We'll get to rejoice that next year, too. We're studying Luke. It's awesome to look at God's Word, to see the actions and teachings of Jesus. And not to just go, oh yeah, that's something good that I've heard about. But week in and week out, it reminds us that, yeah, that's the kingdom of God. That's how we live. That's how we follow after Jesus. One of the huge blessings this last year is that Pete has become our worship leader. And you know, it's awesome to have a worship leader who's also a missionary. Because, you know, one of the things that's easy for churches to do is to become about ourselves, to become very inward focused. And one of the things that's great about Glacier Church, and Pete, thank you for your leadership, we're looking out. We're not just looking in. How can we feel comfortable? How can we feel blessed and enriched? We're saying, God, yes, we want to receive your blessing, but we don't want to hoard it. We don't want to just have it and hold it on to it and, oh, it feels so good. We want to be blessed so we can bless. We want to receive your goodness so that we can pour that goodness out upon everybody we come in contact with. You might remember in the past spring, we had a Cultivate classes, and we talked about how does God want to stir us? What did He create us for as the church? And what is it to reach out to people who are apart from God? I'm so thankful we have this Connection Corner. And Rachel, which I know I saw her earlier, maybe she's out helping with the babies or the kids, but she did a great job. And we created room that we could come earlier at 9:30, and we could spend time together praying for one another. We could just hang out and have a cup of coffee. Relationships matter. And if you don't make room for relationships, in essence, you're saying that, well, they're not as important. But at Glacier Church, we take time to celebrate relationships. You might notice in your notes, and Ted said, there's two pages of notes. That must mean Jamie's going to talk for at least an hour today. I'm going to work hard not to talk for an hour. But I asked a couple questions as we talked about celebrating. And I asked some personal questions because as we remember and as we celebrate this last year as Glacier Church, I want to encourage you to take time in your life and ask questions. What do you need? What do I need to celebrate in my life? Do you ever pause and wonder, how have I grown over this past year? What are some of the things that I've put into motion and practice in my life that are moving me forward and propelling me closer to Christ? One of the things about asking questions is sometimes it shows our weaknesses and sometimes it shows our strengths. And if we're going to celebrate our strengths, we have to analyze. If we're going to improve our weaknesses, we have to evaluate. And so let's evaluate our personal lives. What Ebenezers, what stones do you need to set up in remembrance of what God's done over this past year? Would you do this upcoming week? Would you take some time? Maybe it's as you're getting ready to go to work in the morning or perhaps, you know, you have a commute and you're driving a little ways. Say, God, what are you up to in my life? What are some of the things that are going on? And maybe even jot those down. If you're driving, you probably don't want to jot them down as you're driving. But use this week as a reflection in your own personal life. Well, there's five values that I've recognized as a part of Glacier Church that I want to celebrate and rejoice in today. And these are five values I see in Scripture. And so you might notice in your notes there's a passage of Scripture associated with each of these five values. And the first one that I want to recognize and celebrate today is long-term faithful service. I don't know if you recognize this, but we live in a culture of consumers where essentially the common worldview is, how can I get what I want at a good price? How can I get something with the least possible expense? You know, that's how even most advertising is. It's like, hey, we got this sale, we got the deal of the day. Come get the best value at the least price. And, you know, if you're looking for, you know, a new couch, that's probably just fine. But how does that translate when we look at spiritual things, when it relates to the church, the things of God? And interesting enough, when you analyze the church, we're supposed to be following after Jesus. What would happen if Jesus used the consumer model? Would he have gone to the cross? Do we give him a great value at a low cost? Sinful, broken people that don't have a heart for him, don't love him, he died for. All of a sudden we see a disconnect. There's something different between a consumer culture and the way of Jesus. Paul recognizes this, and he writes a couple different letters. And one of his letters is to one of the young men that he discipled, Timothy. And Timothy became the pastor at the church of Ephesus. And Paul writes this letter to Timothy. And there's two letters. But in the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we read these words from Paul. And he says this, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." You see, the way of Jesus recognizes that we have strength, that we have ability, that we have talents, that we have resources, that we have something to offer. And we don't offer it, we don't give it so we can get something back. No, we recognize our strength and our blessing as a resource that we can serve others faithfully with. That's what Paul did. That's what Timothy did. And can I say that's what I see Glacier Church doing? I remember even my first impressions last year when we were looking at the whole possibility of coming and pastoring. Jenny and I were just like, did you see like the meals? Like everybody jumped in and did something. Everybody participated. I love the attitude of faithful service that I see present at Glacier Church. It's such a blessing to be part of a family where people don't say, hey, what can I get? How much can I get for as little as I can give? Instead, I see how much can I give regardless of what I get back. I see it in people all the time. I see it in Dave Reich in planning work days and people just jumping in on work days and participating, mowing the lawn, taking care of the campus. I see it in Doug Adams every Sunday morning. He comes early, he makes sure everything's ready, he makes sure that the building's the right temperature. I don't know if you remember this, but he climbed up in the attic because he was like, man, things aren't heating up the way they should. And sure enough, our trunk lines were not attached. And here we have a guy climbing up in the attic to take care of us so that we could have a warm place to worship God. And in the winter, it gets a little cold. It's nice to have a warm place to come and feel the warmth and presence of God. I don't know if you've ever been here on a Saturday night, but there's a gal by the name of PJ that comes often on Saturday nights. And she doesn't just clean, she like cleans. She works so diligently to make sure that this campus is taken care of so that when people come in, they feel at home. Judy Bolog, she does a wonderful job. She comes in throughout the week to take care of the office things and the finances. And it's just wonderful to see. Sue Justice, she climbs on a lawnmower in the summer. I mean, here she is, a professor at the community college. And she goes, no, I've got time to hop on a lawnmower and mow the lawn. I want to serve. I have the ability to do that. I want to help. I love how Rachel set this area up and how she's blessed kids. Jason Howard, and how he has helped in teaching and how his faithful service of the church. Arista and Monika Molinex and how they, as young people, teenagers, they say, hey, how can we help on Sunday mornings? And they help out and they team up with our teachers and helping with the kids. Reba as a preschool teacher. Chris doing sound. Ted Turner doing sound and leading a small group, which, by the way, that's on Wednesday nights, not Tuesday nights. I needed to highlight that today, so it gave me a good opportunity. Sandy Reich, she comes in, and you would not believe all of the office work that she does, and she gets the worship folder week in and week out ready. Barb Adams, have you seen her love for kids? That's near the heart of God. These are people who have been here for a long time, and they don't go, what can I get? What's the littlest I can give to get more in return? There's this attitude, I want to give more. And you know, there's other examples I could give, but I want to give one last example, and it jumps out because it's so significant. I don't know if you remember this, but Jean Turner, she does our projection week in and week out. And I don't know if you remember this, but she like went to the hospital and was like really serious. And I went to the hospital to like care for her. And I kid you not, the first 10 minutes, all she could talk about was how how sorry she was and all the ideas she had on how to take care of the projection. Even in the hospital, when everybody should have been focused on her, she was focused on us. There's something about faithful service that is the way of Jesus. And it's not something that I've taught since I've been here. It's something that's been here. It's present. And when there's faithful, sacrificial service, there's an environment for God to do great things. And that's the first value that I see present here at Glacier Church that I want to encourage us. Let's continue in it. The second value that I want to share that I've observed is there's a fresh passion and vision. I don't know if you remember that after Jesus ascended, there was the day of Pentecost. He told them to wait. And the Holy Spirit came with power, and there was a lot of things. You read through Acts chapter 2. And different churches focus on different things. Like if you are familiar with Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, they focus on the tongues of fire and a lot of the excitement and passion of that. And then a lot of churches, at the end of chapter 2, there is a lot of people that got saved, and they focus on the evangelism. How can we reach the lost? Both of those are good and important. But interesting enough, a lot of times the middle of chapter 2 is kind of lost. In the middle of chapter 2, Peter preaches a message, and he chooses for his text a minor prophet that nobody ever talks about. Yet, interesting enough, it's recorded first in the book of Joel. Peter thought it was important enough to preach about it. And Luke, who records everything in the book of Acts, thought it was important enough to write about it. So it seems like maybe this message is a little important. Just maybe. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think it's important. What's the message that Peter preaches? Acts 2. I'm going to just read verse 17. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You see, one of the key factors of what the church is about getting this vision of a Christ-given dream. Dreaming of the world, not just in its corrupted nature, but as the world that Christ is putting back together again in His death and resurrection. It's a crazy dream because it involves God breathing life into death. It involves God restoring and redeeming all things. But I see it in the hearts. I see it in the lives of so many of us. And I've seen it in a lot of the people who have been coming in the more recent future. It's been awesome to have the Eagleton family be so involved. Not just Trevor and Ashley, but Josh and Ethan as well. Remember Travis and Stephanie Campbell, who led worship and Travis taught? I got a card from them just recently. I want to read some of their words to you. Tell me this isn't full of vision and dreams. They say, thank you so much for our book and your generous offering. We were so touched by your thoughtfulness. Please excuse our tardiness. As you can imagine, things have been quite hectic since we've returned. And we've discovered that the Lord has us here for the next year in order to pursue school and a new ministry opportunity at our local church. And we'll be working with the youth. And we're expecting God to do great things this year. But that doesn't mean we don't miss Glacier Church terribly. We truly pray that someday, by the Lord's good pleasure, we will be able to return to the Flathead Valley and to Glacier Church. We want to encourage you as a congregation in saying that we have never been so blessed and comforted in a church setting the way we were with you all. We felt genuinely cared for and uplifted. We felt encouraged in our passions and blessed by your care. And we will never forget the relationships we found at Glacier. You are a church that truly walks out what Jesus teaches. You share the love of Christ so evidently. There's a vision of God is doing something in our midst as we are living out the teaching and the way of Jesus. And there's a vision in the midst of it. There's a dream. There's a desire to be a participant in it. And I want to encourage us, God is at work. God has dreams and visions. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. God has a vision for all of us. He's not done with any of us. And because there's an embracing of dreams and visions at Glacier Church, it doesn't come from the pastors and leaders. It comes from the heart of God. There is immense potential. I am so excited to see what God has in store. A third quality that I want to celebrate and remember is the quality of community and belonging. Have you noticed that we live in a fragmented, antagonistic world where people like to throw things at each other, get on different sides? It happens all the time in all kinds of settings. It happens at work, in politics. We'll get to see it a lot in the next couple months here. But interesting enough, God calls the church to be countercultural, to replace segregation with connection. The church is called to help people see that they actually do belong, that we're actually connected to one another and to God. You might notice there's a passage I have in the notes there, 2 Chronicles 31:18. And to give you some background, you remember in the Old Testament that the nation of Israel got segregated, it split into two fragmented nations. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. They were split from each other. They were distant from one another and from God. And in the midst of it, a godly king by the name of Hezekiah came into power at the young age of 25. But he had this passion for God to bring people back together, to follow God again, to restore that connection. And in 2 Chronicles 31:18, we read this: they included all the little ones, the wives and the sons and daughters of the whole community listed in these genealogical records, for they were faithful in consecrating themselves. You see, we see this connection taking place because God brings us back together again. One of the things that's present at Glacier Church is we're not a demographic church. I mean, you look around. There is not that's where 20-somethings go. Or, that's where people that are retired go. This is a very diverse group of people for the number of people here. We are very diverse. But there's connection. It's not those little kids running around, or, those old people and their music. You talk to people, and that's how people think of church. Oh, well, there's that church that's good for this age group. Or there's that church, and it really, it's good for people who want a more classical, high church experience. There's a lot of that going on, but that's not part of our fabric. And that's not really the fabric that God has for the church. That's more of the typical ways of marketing. But there's something about Glacier Church that says, we view ourselves as the body of Christ. There's body thinking going on. And body thinking has two primary things to it. And I see this present. The first thing is it recognizes that we all are different parts. And we all have different functions, but we don't give preference. We don't say everybody should be a worship leader and a musician, or everybody should be in their 30s, or everybody should be like this. We look at people and go, wow, yeah, you belong. You're an important part. And even if you're completely different, that's okay. You belong. There's room for everybody. There's nobody that's excluded, and there's nobody that's on top. We're all part of the body. There's one head, and that's Christ Jesus. There's body thinking. The second part of body thinking that takes place at Glacier Church is we don't view those that are not part of us as contaminants. You see, some view, we're God's chosen people, and everybody else out there is going to contaminate us. So we need to keep them out so we can keep us in. No, body thinking recognizes those that are apart from Christ not as contaminants, but as fractured parts of the body that are disconnected. And we see them as, oh man, there's a place for you. Please, please come. You don't have to be different, just be who you are and come. There's an openness, there's an embracing, there's a willingness to connect to all people, saying there is a place for you, and you don't have to agree with us, you don't have to look like us. Just come and be connected. Come and be connected. I'm excited to see what God's going to use in our connecting time. And we put emphasis. And you might even notice in the budget that we've put more emphasis, and that's one of the areas, is to improve our connecting area through some coffee makers that will, you know, kind of elevate that. Because I don't know if you found this, but like people like to drink coffee. Have you noticed that? That's why there's like coffee shops and like coffee things in like almost every corner. There's something, and this is another thing. Have you noticed how people gather around drinking? Just period. It might be mooses. How many people in our community gather around mooses? A lot of people. I mean, it's infamous. You talk to people that have never been to Montana. Hey, I've heard about a bar there called Mooses. Yeah. Why? Because people gather around beer. People gather around coffee. Have you ever heard of a drink called Coke? What was the little thing? The little jingle about Coke? There's something about joining together over a common drink and sharing life. And we're also wanting to get some tables that are bistro tables. Have you seen those a little bit taller? One of the things about taller tables, it's not like we just want the taller tables because, like, yeah, I want to sit higher. I'm high in my... No. The reason for the higher tables, have you ever noticed this? If you're sitting at one of those higher stools and somebody walks up to you, you can mingle with them because your heads are about the same height. However, have you noticed if you're sitting at a table like the ones we have and somebody comes up, like there's like a 2-foot difference and you're looking up and they're looking down and it creates this like weird tension and you can't mingle and kind of like share in connection. And, you know, it seems really kind of silly, like, wow, can't we just get over that? Well, there's something about like just common relationship dynamics that you can't just get over. You have to create the right atmosphere. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But we have budgeted to be intentional about connecting. Because it's in our heart. It's in our DNA. It's in the values that we have. But now we have to put those into motion in tangible ways to express them so that people go, oh yeah, I felt that. I have this problem a lot. My intentions are not necessarily understood by people that I'm trying to express them to. You ever have that problem? I have that problem. And you know what? I am so glad I have Jenny in my life to go, you know what? When you were trying to do that, what you really conveyed was this. I did? Yeah. Let's be intentional about expressing what is in our heart about connecting and helping others belong. Let's do that in our actions. And some of that is just kind of those aha moments, kind of like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. And then putting motion and making changes to make that happen. Well, let's continue on with the next one. Blessing for the community. Blessing for the community. Oh, actually, I jumped over one, didn't I? See, my devotion to God's Word. I was trying to speed up for Ted. Sorry about that. In 1 Timothy 4:13, we read this from Paul talking about what the church is. He says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." There's a lot of confusion about what church is. But the Bible is clear that the reason we gather weekly is not just for like an experience, but it's to be transformed through studying God's Word. Now, the experience can be good, and if you talk to people who have gone to church long enough, you are familiar with bad church experiences. We all have an idea of both of those. But one thing that is constant is God's Word is true and it transforms lives. And one of the values that is very strong at Glacier Church is this devotion to God's Word. And I remember when I was asked, they said, we want you to preach God's Word. That's like, you, as a pastor, like, preach God's Word. That's like what we need, is preach God's Word. And you know what? I was really glad about that, because a lot of churches want a CEO. They want somebody who plans a really good organizational scheme to, like, do things. But what a pastor is supposed to do is consistently teach God's Word. To read, to study, and to preach and teach God's Word. And I am so thankful that we do that here at Glacier Church. You might notice that one of the increases in the budget from last year to this upcoming year is for a pastor. Because last year, there was a good period of the year that there wasn't a pastor. There was quite a bit more money given towards speakers to come and preach. And so that's going to be reduced. But, you know, there's more money for being a pastor. Can I tell you one of the interesting historical facts that I found out about Glacier Church? Is that there's been multiple times over the years, 25-some years of Glacier Church, where there's been a tension, where there's been outsiders who come in and told Glacier Church, you can have a building or you can have a pastor, but you can't afford both. That's a tough place for a church to be in. Because it's not like, you know, I know you well enough. There's nobody here that's just independently wealthy. We do have a Ted Turner, but he's not the independently wealthy Ted Turner. Okay? And because of that, there's faithfulness in giving. But there's not the financial resources to just do everything. I am so thankful that God has put in my heart to be a tent-making pastor. As much money as I make now is as much money as I ever hope to make from Glacier Church. I am completely content. And I'm so thankful that I serve in a church that has a vision outside of itself. So much of the resources of a church can go just towards a pastor. And I'm so thankful that we have a building that's almost paid off. One of the things you'll notice in the budget increase is to try to have a pastor. We've been making interest-only payments on the building for the last several months. Obviously, if that continues, well, we'll keep having a mortgage, and we'll never get the building paid off. But as we looked at it as leadership, we said, you know what? We're gaining traction. There's momentum. There was a season of, like, hey, we're going through a transition. What's happening? Is there a vision for the future? Well, you know what? We've gone past that. We're moving forward. And we believe that there will be more people, more families, more giving. And we're going to, in faith, we put in our budget that we'll be able to make our regular full payment throughout this year. You know, one of the blessings of our church is, well, we can make interest-only payments. You have a tent-making pastor. If we fall on hard times, I'm not moving and leaving. I'm here. I have another job. I can make some money there. I can take care of myself that way. But I will continue to preach God's Word. We have balance and health because we're devoted to God's Word, and we're devoted to God's Word in a healthy balance. It's not about making money. It's not about a building. It's about being the church. And I'm excited for that. And our devotion to God's Word is not just in our public services. It's day in and day out. Those Bible bookmarks with kids. It's in, as I've shared and talked with you, you're reading through Luke as we've been studying it. We love God's Word. I guess I better speed it up a little bit. Blessing for the community. Our fifth and final one. When we study God's Word, we find that followers of God are not blessed just so they can receive from God. They're blessed so they can be a blessing. You remember that famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life? Well, that same cycle is for us. When we follow Jesus, we become givers. We become blessed to bless. And when we read the first book of Scripture, we read about a follower of God by the name of Abraham. Now, Abraham was like you and I. He made mistakes, but he was devoted to following after God. And it was to this follower of God, Abraham, that God spoke. He says, "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." You see, God set it up early on. If you obey me, if you follow me, you're going to be blessed so that all nations, all people will be blessed through you. That's an amazing blessing. And as I look at Glacier Church, I see the bride of Christ loving our community, loving our neighbors. The expression of adopting our park is a great example of that. The way that I see you live your daily lives, even the career choices. So many of you are in jobs that are blessing, tangible ways to serve other people. Yeah, you get a paycheck, but you really do it because you're serving other people. It's not ultimately for the paycheck. One of the things that we're doing as an expression of that is the community garden. And that's a vision that I want to move into now. And as you notice the second page, we're people of vision. And that first expression of vision is garden thinking. And I want to talk about that now for a little bit. You'll notice there's two questions in that garden thinking. The first one is this: is my life a fertile place for the supernatural life of God? That's a personal one. And then the second question is a corporate, it's a body question. It's this: are we cultivating a culture that removes hindrances and encourages growth? Do you know that it's common in churches not to have a garden thinking, but to have production thinking? If we produce the right services with the right components, the right advertisement and marketing, we will have a certain product. I don't see that taught in Scripture. It can work. It does work in some churches. I'm not trying to condemn it, but what I'm saying is we are going to be people of garden thinking. That's what we see in Jesus as he teaches the parables. Remember the parable of the soils we talked about a couple months ago? The first question that we talked about on that is we can't assume that I'm good soil. I can't assume that my life is good soil for God. You've noticed, I think, for the last couple weeks that we have out in the field staked up. And this upcoming week, Flathead Valley Community College is going to come with tractors, rototillers, and all the equipment. And when you come next Sunday, that's going to be tilled up, and it's going to be ready, not for a garden yet, but it's going to be the first step in preparation. You see, if we went out there and we started scattering our seed in that field, what would we grow? Would we have tomatoes next summer? Would we have zucchini? No! You have to prepare the soil. Garden thinking says, how can I remove the hindrances so that it's the right environment for growth in life? I'm going to use just the tangible expression of what we're doing to prepare for our community garden. And I want you to think of all the spiritual implications in terms of our life. This week, it's going to be broken. There's going to be friction to create space and room. We have to be comfortable with friction. As we relate to people, our faith brings about a certain amount of friction. Not that we are trying to beat them up, but we're trying to what? Lift them up. That's how you prepare soils. You prepare space by lifting it up, by turning it over. And then, after we do that, we also are analyzing the soil. We're analyzing what type of soil do we have? What's the pH of the soil? Where areas is it weak in? What areas is it strong in? Why? Because we're going to add certain things to it to promote the weaknesses and to take care of those. As we analyze our own lives, where are we doing well? What things are we lacking? And then even after that, the first crop that we're planting, it's not tomatoes, it's not the zucchini. The first two crops we're going to plant are purely to till back in so that the soil is enriched, so that when we do plant the tomatoes, when we do plant the zucchini and green beans and all those things, the soil has the resources for growth to happen. Now, within those metaphors, how does that apply to you and I? How does it apply to us as a church? Are we putting energy in our lives that our lives are fertile soil so that God, in His supernatural way, the gospel has fertile soil to grow and produce a crop? Or do I just not care about that? Just got to hurry up. I want a crop. As a church, do we just want people to show up and be involved so that we can, oh man, my church is growing. It feels so good to have more people at my service. Or are we preparing room in our lives and in our community as a church for people to come in and actually connect with God? To let the supernatural life of God just miraculously grow inside of them. What hindrances and what lacking components are going on in our church? We have to have garden thinking if we are going to honor God. And you know what's going to happen? As we start to grow crops in there, people are going to start asking questions. And you might notice one of the other things in our upcoming budget is if we're going to be garden thinkers, there has to be a sense when people even pull into the parking lot, they go, these people are actually cultivating an environment that has life. And so one of the things that we've put in the budget that we want to do this upcoming spring is we want to redo our front landscaping. Not because we care, oh man, we just want to be so pretty. But we want to convey to people, those people at Glacier Church, they care about life. I mean, look at how much they take care of just their plants. If they take care of plants, they probably take care of me. If they care about life in a plant, they probably care about my life. We want to convey this attitude of garden thinking. We want to be a place that nurtures life in all people. The second area of vision that I want to encourage us with is intentional relationships. You might notice the questions I put in there. The first one, am I loving the people in my life as if they are Jesus? You say, Jamie, did you word that right? Yeah, I did. See, a lot of times we're told that we should love people because Jesus loves us. But remember, we've been noticing in our study of Luke, and we looked a little bit crossways in the Gospel of Matthew and that whole parable of the sheep and the goats, that the way that we're to live our lives is we're to view all people as Jesus. Now think about that. If Jesus came in and He sat next to you, would you go, oh, let me scoot over? Yeah, there's a seat right here. Would you say, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee or some pastry or some grapes? How welcoming of Jesus would we be? How intentional would you be if Jesus said, hey, can we get together for lunch this week? Would you say, yeah, I think I can move some things in my schedule. I can make room for that. But see, what we tend to do is we tend to view people as whatever image they put on. Oh, it's that type of person. But Jesus tells us the way to actually follow me is to relate to all people as if they are me. See past the facade and see them with the fingerprints of God all over them and love them as if they were me. Make room in your lives for them. Sacrifice so that there's space for them. Now, I also want you to think about this. If we're to follow the way of Jesus, Jesus loved never expecting for that love to be reciprocated. He didn't love with the condition that we would love back. He loved in faith. He loved in hope that we would return His love with our own. And that's how we need to love those people in our life. I'm going to brag on my wife for a minute. Is that okay? I have, and I've shared, I have a coworker, and she is a hard coworker to work with. And she is somebody who I work hard to love and love her as if she were Christ. And sometimes I do a good job, and some days, well, I don't do as good a job. But as I've shared with Jenny about this coworker, Jenny has expressed love. Jenny's made her jewelry and made her a scarf and done things, though she doesn't know this coworker, to show God's love. And this coworker, she has a babysitter. She just had a new baby this last summer, and her babysitter was unable to watch her new baby for a few days. And she said, "Would your wife be willing to do that?" And I said, I don't know. I think so. Let me find out." And so Jenny called this coworker, and my coworker came over to our house yesterday and spent about an hour. And even though Jenny and this coworker have hardly ever met, this coworker just starts opening up to Jenny and expressing difficulties in her marriage and difficulties with this new baby, and just almost to the place of tears. Jenny cares for this coworker and makes room and deals with the inconvenience because she wants to love this coworker as if she was Jesus. And if we do that in our individual lives, and if we as a church expect people to come in our parking lot and do Brody's and go, "It's okay, we love you anyway." If we put all this work in the community garden and we expect people to come in and steal, kill, and destroy the plants we grow and say, "Well, you know what, we love you anyway. We're going to do good anyway." If we clean the church and we work hard to make this a great place for people to come into and people disrespect and maybe even talk evil, and you know what, we say, "It's okay, we love you anyway." If we do that, if we are intentional in our relationships, individually and corporately, we are following the way of Jesus. We are being intentional in relationships the way Jesus is intentional in relating to us. You see, as amazing as it is, God chose to relate to us personally. And if we're going to follow after Him, we have to relate to people personally. Not as a demographic, not as a statistic, not as even just, "Hey, we're trying to draw in a crowd." But person to person, individual to individual, having a culture and community of relationship. And that leads us to this last area as we conclude, and that is this area of following our King Jesus. And it really, garden thinking fits into intentional relationships. But I wanted to use the word following because it communicates motion. When was the last time you went on a hike? Maybe even a backpacking trek. You ever been in the Bob Marshall Wilderness for 3 or 4 days? And you're like, "No way, no thanks. They don't have any currant bushes up there. I like my hair dryer. Thank you very much." One of the things that's part of who we are is we're Christ followers. We're on a journey. We look back on this last year, and you know what we see? We see progress. We see movement. We see motion following after Jesus. But one of the worst things that we can do as a church is go, yeah, that was a good year. Let's go ahead and set up camp for a little while. You see, there's something about our fallen nature that wants to set up camp and stay. This is good enough. Let's stay here for a while. Remember, what was Peter's response on the Mount of Transfiguration? Did he say, "Hey, let's stay up here and I'll build a shelter for you, for Moses, for Elijah"? That was exactly his response. Jesus, he kind of ignored that whole question because we're moving. We're continuing to step by step follow Jesus. You know, we're doing some good things, but it's just another step in the process. It's not like we've arrived. It's not like, "Oh yeah, we've done good enough. We can set up camp and stay here." We're continually moving. And so I wonder with you today, where's Jesus leading you? Where's Jesus leading me? What adventures are yet to be had? Because you know what happens when we walk towards Jesus? We follow after Jesus, is we stumble and we fall, and sometimes we feel like, I'm never going to make it. And you might be there right now. You might be like, you know what, Jamie? I'm getting tired of this. My knees are scraped. My elbows are bloody. Can I remind you that Jesus is with us? And our King is not just some king off in the distance saying, come on, suck it up, you loser. No, He's a King who dealt with the same pain, and He kneels beside us and He lifts us up. And if you failed 100 times, get back up. This might be the time, the 101st time. It's going to work. Jesus is there. Follow Him. Or maybe part of the difficulty is you've had a lot of successes. You've gotten a lot of those peaks. You've seen the vistas and you've said, "This I must have arrived. This is so awesome. Why do I need to go any further?" The adventures that Jesus calls us to are always greater. The skills and the abilities that we develop as we follow Him, they constantly go, "Wow, I didn't think I could do that. How did I develop that ability to love?" I remember there was a time where I would have just totally blown that person off. And all of a sudden, God gave me the chance that I seized that opportunity and made the most of it. I was able to bless that person and encourage that person, where in the past I would have never seen it. God continually calls us to follow Him. And it's a journey. It's a step by step. Day by day, will we continue to follow Him? I believe we will. I have to confess, in my life, I'm excited for what I see in front of me. And I do know this, there are going to be some times in this upcoming year where I'm going to be down, and you're going to be down. But Jesus is going to lift us up, and we'll continue to follow Him. He is our King and He is our friend. And He calls us to follow Him. Let's do it step by step. Would you stand as we close in prayer?